My guy Pete, how we doing?
Good again.
Welcome back to Pod on the Run, third episode. Full disclosure, we've had some technical issues lately.
We have, but we're getting better.
We are. It's the learning process, much like running.
That's right. Sometimes you got to screw it up before you get it right. And that's what we did.
That's right. Having some issues with our recording technology. To be quite frank, this is the second time we've recorded this episode, and we've had an issue with this in the past. So, yeah, some errors have occurred, but we're doing it again. We're getting reps, and it's all part of the journey. So, what's going on this morning for you?
Not much, man. Good to be back in here chatting with you. Excited for something a little bit different with this pod. And excited to talk about what's been happening lately.
Yeah.
Big stuff.
Yeah, that's right. I appreciate the tease right there, because coming up a little later, we've got a nice surprise. The first guest.
Yes, sir.
In our podcast. And we can't wait to talk to this young man who's absolutely a force of inspiration and motivation for me, and I'm sure for you as well.
Most definitely is.
Yeah, can't wait to get to that. And obviously, we had a big weekend last weekend. A few local people participating in some races. Let's get into it.
Yeah, I think we start with you.
Okay, here we go. First long trail run race experience for me. Did a 30K Paiute Meadows in the Susanville area. And I was slow and steady the second half, but sometimes the tortoise beats the hare, and I ended up getting third overall, which was a complete and total surprise, but just made the experience so worthwhile and so much fun. Yeah, long trail runs for the win.
Yeah, super cool. I'm proud of you. When you sent me that text afterward, I saw it pop up on Strava, and I had to get in touch with you to see what really happened. Like, you really got third overall. I know going into that race, you were a little nervous about what's it going to be like. I've never gone that distance on a trail, never run a trail race. And clearly, whatever hurdles were in your way, you cleared them and had a great run. So congratulations. Really cool stuff.
Thanks. Sometimes you have to be strategic about the races you enter, because I just feel like there wasn't a ton of entries, and that's the reason I was able to finish third. I don't feel like my performance was indicative of that finish, but it still was something that I'm proud of. And somebody told me, a wise person who we'll hear from a little bit later, that when you're doing a long 30K for the first time, just use the grit and get it done, and don't really try and race it. And so that's what I did, especially in the second half. I danced with the pain a little bit, and it was nice to know that, hey, I can do this, and maybe now we stretch it out and go for a longer distance.
Yeah, most definitely. And, you know, I don't think there's a space right now to say you didn't deserve this finish. You got out there. You can't control who else is running. All you can do is control your effort, and clearly you controlled that effort and did really well. So be proud.
Thanks, man. You earned it. Hey, that means a lot. Appreciate your perspective, and yeah, that feels good.
Can you share with us what you shared with me about the end of the race? I know you kind of hinted that the second half was pretty tough, but what specifically was tough about it?
Ooh, there were a few climbs in this puppy. We were already in altitude, and there was a lot of elevation gain over certain stretches of the run. And there was a hill in particular around mile 17, a real zinger by the race director and the course director. It was called Heart Attack Hill.
A fitting name, it sounds like.
Yes. It was about 1,200 feet of elevation gain over the course of a stretch of maybe 3/4 of a mile, perhaps a little more. A lot of switchbacks, just kind of steady climbing the whole way. And my lungs were on fire at that moment. It was rough.
I can't imagine. That sounds really uncomfortable and really painful.
Yeah.
I'm glad it was you last weekend and not me, because I was definitely not prepared for anything like that. Yeah. So as you look back on the race as a whole, and maybe if you want to like even zoom in on that finish, do you feel like the training you did over the last 8 to 10 weeks prepared you for it?
Absolutely. We're so lucky here and to have stretches of Upper Bidwell that are basically really technical, and there's a lot of climbs that prepare you for this type of run. And huge, huge shout out to Coach Daniel and the Fleet Feet training program. He really set up some great runs, some great hill workouts, and that definitely led me to feel prepared. And other members of this group also fared really well in their races up there, including Niemeyer, who took second place in the half marathon, and Frank.
Hey, that guy is a very bad man.
Darren, Molly, and Laura also finished and did well, so we were well prepared.
Yeah, I had a chance to come out and do a couple runs with that group, and you mentioned Niemeyer. That guy is an absolute monster. You told me about him, you know, I just met him recently, and you'd mentioned, like, this guy is just a total badass when it comes to running. And I'm not shocked at all that he finished second overall in the half marathon. You told me about on some of those hill repeat nights where he would be running uphill with his arms above his head. That sounds miserable for a couple reasons. One, I don't think I can hold my arms above my head for very long, and definitely not while I'm running, and definitely not while I'm running uphill.
Yeah, he used to wrestle. So this comes from kind of a wrestling background and a lot of endurance training that he would do for Chico High School. He would run with his arms raised to work on that core, work on that back strength. And yeah, it's just lollygagging through Upper Bidwell Park like it's no big deal with his arms raised on some of these training runs. This is impressive.
Yeah, you know what? That's got me thinking now. I think maybe wrestlers and distance runners have a lot in common.
Ooh, interesting.
Right? Just because wrestling requires so much endurance and grit. And I mean, the same can absolutely be said about distance running, especially trail distance running. You got to have endurance. You got to have grit. So probably a pretty, I don't want to say easy transition from wrestling training to running training, but certainly something that's within his wheelhouse. So good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Really proud of him. And the other finishers in this race. One other quick note about Niemeyer. Niemeyer's a rapper. And I've
really
just discovered that he's been laying down some pretty solid tracks on Instagram.
Really?
So go follow Niemeyer. I think his last name's Biros. He's making some music as well. So okay, he's like the most interesting runner in the world.
Yeah, just the half hour or 40 minutes I got to spend with him, he shared a couple very interesting stories about what he's done in the Chico community and for the Chico community. So, yeah. It'd be interesting to follow his story going forward. I also want to add Laura, who was in your training group that ran Paiute Meadows, is a very good friend of mine and my family's. She is a badass runner as well. She's got no quit. She's actually running another half marathon this weekend. So a race last weekend, a race this weekend. I know she's got a couple more this summer. So good luck this weekend, Laura. I'm sure you're going to crush this one just like you did the last one.
Yeah, it was cool to see her cross the finish line. I was hanging out at the tent near the area and see Laura trucking down the hill and coming across the pavement and giving her some big shout outs as she passed the finish line. So she is very, very impressive. There's another really impressive runner in the area that clocked an amazing time and an amazing finish in the Quicksilver 100K this weekend. And this is pretty much more impressive than any other performance that happened lately. Logan Ziegenmeier.
Yeah, unbelievable. We've mentioned him before and the training that he puts in. Hopefully we'll get to have a chat with him about all the work he does. But yeah, finished sixth overall in the Quicksilver 100K, which is damn impressive. And on top of that, it was a PR for him. And I saw him on Wednesday night and he said it was a PR by an hour.
What?
Yeah. Which is really impressive. And then he told me a little bit more about the situation. His PR in the 100K before that came in a much different kind of course. This course at the Quicksilver had way more climb and elevation gain than the previous 100K where he had his personal record. So he was very happy with this finish and told me some crazy stories about there being three or four different 3 mile climbs over the course of this race on top of the weather being over 90 degrees.
Oh.
Yeah, he said that 30% of the field dropped out of the race during the course
no
of the
way.
Race because of the conditions being so challenging. So just finishing would have been really impressive, but then to go out and finish sixth and improve his PR by an hour is mind-blowing to me. Absolutely mind-blowing.
What a beast, man.
Yeah.
His training's paying off, and he's on his way to doing some really impressive things. Already has, but looking forward, I mean, he's got some big runs coming up, and I just wouldn't be surprised if he continues to ascend to some territory that's really, really, really impressive.
Yeah, no doubt. He's prepping for a 50-mile race coming up in just a couple or 3 or 4 weeks in Nevada. So best of luck on that race. I know he's being joined out there in Nevada by a couple other Chico folks. I believe Kyler Dill's heading out there with him as well to run that race. So best of luck to them. They're out there getting after the training as we speak. Just fun to watch and really inspiring.
Yeah, just casual little rim-to-rim runs in Upper Bidwell Park. Or going, what was it, the Musty Buck 50K?
Yeah.
Just these guys are running all over the place up there and clocking some impressive times, doing some good things. Kyler's another person, man. I want to get to know Kyler a little bit more because he does some really impressive stuff on Strava.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy's an animal.
Absolutely, yeah. Again, just more people in our community who we're getting to know and crossing paths with and seeing them out running. And again, drawing inspiration from the hard work that they're putting in and recognizing, hey, man, if other people around us are doing this, why can't we work hard too?
Yeah, it is such an inspiring region. That's a great point. Yeah. And we've got someone who is definitely in on the inspiration.
No doubt.
That we want to turn our attention to now.
Yes. So this is a young man. I'll say young man because he's definitely younger than both of us. This is a young man that I've had the pleasure of knowing for coming on probably 10 years. I taught high school English for a long time. And this guy was in my class as a sophomore nearly 10 years ago. And quiet guy. Did his work, kept his nose down, never caused any trouble. And when I started running, we crossed paths again. And it has truly been a pleasure to reconnect with this guy, to really kind of evolve from, you know, kind of a teacher-student relationship to a friendship. This has truly been a student becomes the master becomes the student situation. I'm no longer imparting knowledge on him. He's now imparting knowledge on me. And he's certainly been a huge help in my growth as a runner. And I truly appreciate that. Ross, you want to jump in and say anything about our first guest?
Oh my gosh, man. The amount of influence this guy's had on me when it comes to running is just monumental. I mean, completely changed my life. Was my first coach in the Fleet Feet Training Road program, and he's pushed me, he's inspired me, he's shown me that I can reach another level. I appreciate his confidence in me. I appreciate how he teaches and coaches everybody in this program. And it's just a wonderful young man who's doing a lot of good things with his career and his life as well. And yeah, he is the great Noah Iliff. Woo. Welcome to the show.
Woo. Thank you. Super happy to be here.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us, Noah. We really appreciate it. Clearly, we've just articulated a little bit of how important you've been to both of our running over the last couple of years. So, yeah, thank you for being here. You have a long history of running, long for how young you are. It's very long. We'll say you've been running for most of your life. Because I think that's a fair assessment. Take us through that running journey. Where did you start? How did you get to where you are right now with your running?
So it all started when I was a freshman in high school. I think before that I was active, you know, and I like to be outside and do different various activities, but I wasn't on a lot of sports teams. When it came around to track season my freshman year, in my seventh period biology class, I had a table mate asked me across the table, are you going to do track? I had never thought about track. I didn't know we had a track team, but I still said, yeah, I'm going to do track. Absolutely.
Never a doubt.
Never a doubt in my mind. Ended up going out and it was a huge learning experience. You know, I don't think I got not last in any race at all. I got last probably every single time. When the season got over, I was like, maybe a cross country would be better for me. So I stuck with it, ended up running 4 years of track and cross country at Paradise High School. And then I ended up running 2 years at Butte College for track and cross country as well.
So you don't accidentally end up running track and cross country at Butte. You can't just say, I barely crossed the finish line as a freshman in every race and then ended up running at Butte. What happened in the span of those 4 years that, you know, got you to a level where you could be competitive at the community college level?
Well, I had a lot of dedication, you know, so I was not the most talented individual, but definitely put in the work over the years. I wasn't any kind of Olympian or any school record holder or anything, but I put in enough work to be able to run on that junior college team. One cool thing was my track coach in high school, Seth Roberts, got to see me grow over those 4 years, and we had never talked about it until the end of my track season, my senior year, and he says, "What are you going to do next year?" I said, "I think I'm going to go to Butte." He goes, "Do you want to run?" And I said, "Is that an option?" Because he was also the cross country coach there. So he also kind of helped me in that transition over. So him and I got to spend 6 years of running together, which was fantastic.
That's really cool. And I think, you know, that's what a good coach does, right? Mm-hmm. They can see, like, maybe you're not the most talented right away, but work ethic makes up for so much, right? And you very clearly had that work ethic. Still have that work ethic to put in the work, not afraid to go out there and sweat it out and get uncomfortable. And as our buddy Ross says, dance with the pain, right? To get better. So that's pretty awesome that you went from really not a very accomplished runner to running at the junior college level. That's a huge, huge accomplishment.
Thank you. And I think with hard work and good coaching, a lot of people can do things like that. You know, and that I did transition to coaching after that career of running for the junior college. And it's awesome to see people grow in that way to do things like you two have that you never thought that you could do before.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can say, you know, I think what Coach Roberts did for you, you probably done for Ross and I. You know, over the years that I did training programs with you through Fleet Feet here in Chico, I knocked almost 10 minutes off of my half marathon time, which I'm really proud of because that's not easy to do. And I think it's a testament to, you know, having a good coach to push and say, you can do this. Like, here's how you do this, because Ross kind of hinted at it, you know. Neither of us know a whole lot about running or how to get better at any of this stuff when we first started doing this whole distance running thing. So to have somebody say, here's how you get better at it, makes things a lot easier.
You know, that is so impressive that it's 10 minutes overall. I don't think I knew it was by that big of a margin, you know, since the time that we've been running together. Your story has been one of my favorites that I tell people all the time, because you've been with me since the beginning of my coaching for the half marathon. Mm-hmm. And I used a lot of different training styles on you specifically to kind of help me figure out the formula.
Sort of a guinea pig for you. And glad to be that guinea pig.
Yeah. Well, some of it worked, some of it not, you know, because I think, you know, you and I both shared in some not fun races.
Sure.
Not to mention names, Clarksburg.
Yeah, never going back.
Yeah, never
what?
Going back.
Yeah. I didn't hear that.
But yeah, I think your progression story is one similar to mine, you know, where you start out and you put in the work and you run so much faster now, not only in races, but just general workouts
Most
than
definitely.
You did when we first started.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, hard work and having someone that believes in you goes a long way.
Transition from track to cross country. A little bit more of a speed emphasis, obviously, track and field wise, right? Shorter distances, cross country, longer distances. What do you think about that? Do you like the longer distances a little bit more? But let's be clear, you are also really fast.
I appreciate that. You know, I think they're both running, but they could be broken down into being two totally different things, because track is all about the speed. You know, it's totally different on the body. I think it takes more kind of mental capacity to push yourself and do that speed over and over again. You know, when we line up to do speed workouts, it's kind of like we're gearing up to go to war, right? Yeah. You know, there's not a lot of smiles per se when we get out there to do it, because it's hard to push your body to that extent all the time to run fast, where cross country, or this can go into kind of trail running as well, there's a lot more smiles. While it's still hard, it's a different kind of hard. I think there's more grit involved, because as you tackle hills and hard terrain, you have to re-up mentally over and over. So you don't have to be on all the time, but you have to kind of get back into that pain zone, you know, over and over again.
Yeah. So you spent a lot of time coaching at the high school level, the junior college level. And then you were at Fleet Feet. How did you make that transition from coaching, you know, with schools to being at Fleet Feet and coaching?
So I worked at Fleet Feet for 5 years. I ended up applying for that job just to be customer service, as kind of pursuing a passion kind of a job. And luckily they hired me, which was a fantastic thing for my life. And they had known that I had coached at Paradise High School and Butte College, and they needed some extra coaches, so they asked if I wanted to do it. So it was kind of just right place, right time. I had never coached adults, you know, anybody over the college age, nor anything longer than what track and cross country would offer. So it was a new experience. I started out coaching 10K programs on the road. I did a couple and then eventually moved to the half marathon on the road, which, you know, all three of us spent most of our time together doing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Your impact on us and me in the training program helped me knock 7 minutes off my half marathon time in 2.5 months.
That's incredible.
Not quite as impressive as 10 minutes, but I'm well, working
was,
to get there.
Yeah, but Ross, let's give it a, again, context is everything. That was over like 7 years.
Yeah.
10 minutes in 7 years. 7.5 minutes in 2 months is incredibly impressive.
Yeah, and I owe a lot of that to Noah and running with you as well, Pete. So, yeah, obviously you've had a tremendous impact and made a lot of difference. We have some tough workouts in that program. One of them, I imagine, is your favorite. What is your favorite workout, Coach Noah?
I don't even think you have to ask. It's mile repeats at the airport is my favorite.
Saw that one coming.
Yeah. That is the workout that I have never changed over any of our programs. It's stuck around, not only in the timing of when we do it in the program, but nothing as far as distance or rest time or quantity has changed. People see so much improvement at that time. We do it about middle of the program. It's great for people's confidence, and people can usually tackle kind of the miles better than they can. They get better times faster than they could ever run. And we do it at the airport. The airport here in Chico can be kind of a special place to run on that 1 mile loop.
Yeah, that is certainly one of my favorite workouts. The first time I did it, I didn't really enjoy it that much. but now it's one of those things in a training block that I look forward to. Mm. It's a really good indicator for me personally. I think a lot of people would probably agree. It's a good indicator to see where your fitness is at, because we're, I don't know, at that point, 5 to 6 weeks into training. So we're not at our peak of miles, but we're getting right near it. And to go out there and really put it all on the line and run 5 miles as hard as you can with a very short break between, recovery is used very loosely between those miles, because there's not a lot of recovery. It's take a couple deep breaths, hope your heart rate goes down, and get right back at it. I know I really look at those mile repeats as kind of turning the corner in the training block. Like, I'm really getting to the peak of my fitness. Let's see what I'm capable of. And I know that if I can make it through that workout and feel good about it, that I can definitely handle the next few weeks of training as we get to the peak and then start tapering going into race week.
Yeah, and I think you said it well. We don't ever go 100% in a workout up until that point. So people really get to push themselves and see where they are in their fitness. Mm. You know, you've done programs multiple times with me, Peter, and you can see in past seasons where you've been to kind of test your shape, or when you did the mile repeats with us the first time, Ross, you could really see how fast you can run miles, and we've never run miles that fast before.
Yeah, absolutely. It was such a game changer for me. I'm so glad you mentioned that. When I joined the Fleet Feet training program, how you changed my life was introducing me to speed workouts. It was introducing me to realizing that there's so much more when it comes to training than just going out and running a consistent distance every day, and that you need to have speed nights. You need to have nights when you take it easy. You need to have longer runs. So I think if anybody's trying to evolve as a runner, it's totally unlocks a new level when you get to join a program like that and you get to be coached by someone like you. So yeah, that night opened up my eyes and unlocked a new level to me for sure.
You know, that reminds me of the first time that we met on the very first speed workout night in Wildwood. So whenever a new program starts, I feel like nobody knows where they're going to run. And speed workout is intimidating to people when they start.
Sure.
So people many a times try to keep up with the fastest people in the group, and they don't know if they could keep up. So me as a coach, when we take off in our group, I kind of look around to see who's going to try to stick with us. And that is what you did. But you did way better. And when we got done, I was like, how'd it feel? And the look on your face, you're like, I have never done something like that ever. But you hung on and you were with that group, you know, that front group with us that entire program. So you did fantastic.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah. Speed work can be very intimidating when you talk about it and read the training program. Like, oh, speed work. Shit. I don't know. I don't even know what that means. Speed work. I've got one speed. Like Lynn always says,
yeah.
Noah's sister Lynn has done several of these programs. And she's an absolute treat to be around. Yeah. Noah's biggest fan and biggest critic without a doubt. But her whole thing is I've got two speeds on and off. And, I love that about her. And she is the first person to give Noah the hardest time.
Oh yeah.
All in good spirits. But is not afraid to unleash on her.
No, huge potty
sure.
mouth.
Yes.
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think one of my favorite stories with her was it was raining at the airport, you know, as it does, and it's miserable. And I said, okay, we're here to do a speed workout. And halfway through, she runs by a group of us and she goes, we're just jogging these because it's raining, right? You know, we're not actually running these fast, are we? And I'm like, oh, just do whatever you want. Yeah.
Yep. By the way, just as an aside, Ross and I did our Birth K a few weeks ago, and our last run for that little adventure was on the Midway. And I pointed out that, like, the Midway is always miserable to run on. And so I have a question for you as someone who's led, you know, many training programs where there's runs on the Midway. Do you guys intentionally design the program so that the worst possible weather occurs when we run on the Midway? Because that's my theory, that this is all some big plan by Fleet Feet and the coaches at Fleet Feet to make sure that the Midway is always miserable when we run on it.
I see why you say that, because there has not been one good day we have ever run on it. And I don't look at the weather to pick specific days to be at the Midway. It's just, this is our, I usually do 12 miles out there because that's a good route. Whatever our 12 mile day is, we just get screwed every single time.
No one can see this, but Noah is squirming in his seat. So I don't believe what he's saying. I think they're plotting against us, Ross.
Oh, there's nothing like good old-fashioned wind smacking you in the face.
And rain. Yeah, gotta love it. Gotta love it.
Okay, well, let's transition into this real quick. You've had some really, really, really impressive performances out there in races you've competed in. What are some of your favorite events that you've participated in?
Well, as far as venues go, I have done the Siskiyou Out and Back, or also known as the SOB 50K, two years.
Not son of a?
No. Yeah, Siskiyou Out and Back. Yeah, specifically. But it is a very hard course. So you might say, yeah, that acronym a couple of times. So venue-wise, that has been fantastic. Very challenging, but fun to do with friends that I've gone with as well. I really like the Monterey Half Marathon that we did last November.
Agreed. That was a fun one.
Yeah. So great running times came from it also, but just to be in Monterey with the weather when Chico tends to be hot was fantastic. And then most recently I did the Rattlesnake 25K out in Cool. So that was a fun one to do also.
Yeah. How? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
About that race. Come on, brag.
Okay. I'll leave my humbleness outside on this one. I ended up winning, which was fantastic. So I took first place overall. And one cool thing was my wife was there to see me win. And I think that was the first race that she's ever seen me win. She's gone to other races to see me perform, but that was the first one. So to show off in front of your significant other is pretty cool.
For what it's worth, Olivia is also sitting in the room with us right now, and she has a big grin on her
face. She's beaming.
She's beaming.
So as far as how that race went, we started the 25K with the 50K runners, and we were on an out and back. And we started out fast, and there was a group of about six of us. And going out, I could only think I hope everybody here is doing the 50K, because if everybody's doing the 25K, it's going to be a brutal battle. Well, we end up getting to the turnaround point, and everyone except me and one other guy kept going. So I'm in first or second place at this point, which I was kind of tasting victory a little bit. I still had about 7.5 miles to go. On the turnaround, there was 4 miles of downhill. You kind of run down to the river, and then you have to climb 3 miles out to the finish. On the downhill, I thought I'd make a move and try to push it and run as hard as I can downhill to break this person behind me. So that's what I did. And at the end of the 4 miles before you climb, you get to an aid station. And at that aid station, that guy was right behind me. So there was a little mental defeat there where you do all this work and you run really, really hard and your competition is still with you. Mm-hmm. So he started running up the hill. I took a gel and made a mental decision to run the whole uphill, which I was hoping to walk most of it. But I ended up running and going past him and never looked back. And it was enough to take the win, which was fantastic.
God, that's good awesome. Good for you, man. Yeah. Congratulations.
And not surprising that you decided to run the whole uphill. Good for you.
Yeah. I mean, it was not a easy uphill either. It was very steep. So that's why I was hoping to walk. But you got to do what you got to do sometimes.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, I think that's just going with the flow of the race. You know, you clearly had a plan and you had to adapt that plan because all of a sudden things got real, real quick. So good for you for adapting and pushing through that discomfort and getting the victory. That's really cool.
Yeah. Well, that's what we do, right? Pushing
right.
Pete. Yeah.
That's right. Pushing it. Always pushing it.
Oh, that's push a Pete. If you ever run with Pete, just know that at the end of your run, he's going to push it and bring you along.
Get the lead out.
How did you feel after that race? The next couple of days after, how'd the body feel?
Well, directly after, I felt awful. I almost threw up. We didn't stay around for any of, you know, the fun festivities or anything. We left right after because I felt horrible. Couple of days after, it wasn't too bad. You know, a little bit of soreness and everything like that. But hydrated well, you know, ate well, rested well. So that wasn't too bad recovery wise.
Yeah, I remember talking to you a few days later and you said it hurt. Mm-hmm. It hurt.
It definitely hurt. Yeah.
It inspires me to dance with the pain a little bit more, which That's is right. what I'm trying to do. Coach That's... Noah does that real well.
Well, and let's be honest, finishing well takes a little bit of the sting off of how uncomfortable it was.
Yeah. Exactly.
If you'd have been that uncomfortable and not finished the race, you'd have felt a lot worse.
Yeah. Well, and upset also.
Speaking of finishing the race, ever not finished a race?
No, I have been very lucky that I have finished every single race I have stepped on the line for.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because you've done some tough ones. That SOB is not an easy one. I know you've shared some stories about that race being really challenging and more or less being dragged the last 4 miles.
Yeah. Well, and things with that, you know, you just got to change your goals sometimes with something that long. And the whole point is finishing. So if you have a time goal and you're not going to meet it, you might as well adjust it, you know, and still finish on the day. There was a 50K that Aiden and I ended up doing last September where it was 90 something degrees the whole time and they ran it in the middle of the day.
Fun.
It took me 4 hours longer than I thought it was going to take me.
Holy cow.
50% of people that day did not finish the race, but I'm happier to say that I am one that finished. Yep. You know, even though the first 20 miles took me 4 hours and then the last 10 also took me 4 hours, it's better to finish than to, you know, not.
Yeah. What about running with people? I mean, how nice is it to have Aiden? And then I believe there was another event where Daniel was an angel for
you. Daniel is such my guardian angel. There's been multiple 50Ks where I get probably within 5 miles or the last aid station of the race and Daniel has pulled me up out of the chair to talk me to keep going. I think those guys or, you know, teammates like you two have been are fantastic to have in running. Otherwise, I don't think any of us would be as good as we are.
Most definitely. Yeah, you get into that pain cave and start doing the tango with the pain. sometimes you need somebody to just say, you got this. Like, we're going to finish this. Just to keep you mentally engaged, because it's very easy when you get uncomfortable to disengage from the race and be like, I'm over this. I'm done. Someone pick me up. So, yeah, I'm very, very impressed that you're able to push through all that discomfort.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So maybe next year we'll do a 50 miler. We'll see how it goes.
It's on your calendar, not mine. So since Noah is our first guest, we are going to do this with everybody who we have in to talk about running. We have four questions for you, Noah. Short answers are great. Long answers are great. However you want to approach it. So first question, where's your favorite place to run?
It would have to be Upper Bidwell Park here in Chico. You know, it's local and kind of like home.
Definitely. Is there a specific trail?
I think middle, just because we've spent so many summers, I think, grinding that out, even though it's not the easiest, it's familiar, which I like.
Yep, definitely. Second question. When you're on a solo run, do you wear headphones and listen to something, music, podcast, whatever it might be, or do you go au naturel and take in the sounds of nature?
Yeah, I raw dog it, so there's no headphones of any kind.
Good. Alone with your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. It's a good decompress time.
Yeah, that can be a scary place too. All right. Question number three. Best tip you've ever received regarding your running?
So this came from Seth Roberts, who is a big inspiration and my coach for a long time. He told me to run with my heart and not my legs.
Ooh, that's love a that good one.
I love that that's a lot. Poignant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then our last question. What's one piece of advice you would give to a new runner, someone who's just starting their running journey?
I think people that start think they need to do so many things in the beginning, but less is more. The more time you spend uninjured is great, but also I see a lot of people taking on mileage more than they should. So less is more.
Guilty.
Awesome. Well, thank you for those answers. Those are thoughtful and poignant, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the runner. This is the coach. But there's also another part to Noah that's really, really cool that we want to get into. Just know that if you need some shoes or you need some gear, this is the guy to come to.
So Noah worked at Fleet Feet for a long time and as such has a vast knowledge of running shoes and running equipment. Over the last 6 to 7 years, I think I've bought almost every pair of running shoes I've gone through from Noah. I consider him maybe my running shoe sommelier. And so we're hoping that maybe today, Noah, you could share some insights on running shoes and advice for choosing the proper running shoe for people who are interested in knowing a little bit more about that.
Yeah. No, any questions you have, I will do my best. But a good pair of running shoes is definitely important in the sport that we do.
Most definitely.
Yeah, well, I would just say, what are the best running shoes that you've ever worn?
My favorite pair of running shoes is the Brooks Caldera 7, which I think all of us have mixed opinions on. But for me, that has been my favorite pair of shoes. I think I have 4 pair right now. But that question is very subjective to everybody.
Yeah.
Because certain shoes are going to fit everybody's feet different.
Yeah. So if someone comes to you and they want advice on running shoes, like let's say they're brand new to running, what is the first thing that you say? If I say, Noah, I want a pair of running shoes, like, where do I even start?
If you want a pair of running shoes and you can't go in to get fit or talk to a professional, I would probably ask you how much you're doing, you know, because if you're running kind of shorter distances, or if you're just kind of walk running or doing ultra marathons, that's going to be a totally different shoe. You know, mainly I would say in cushion level and support, you could get away with a thinner type shoe, kind of the less that you run.
Okay. So let's say someone is running 10 to 20 miles a week on the road. What would your advice be for a good starter shoe? Maybe give a couple different ideas.
Yeah, well, there is a big difference between kind of neutral shoes, which don't have any built-in support, and stability shoes.
Yeah, so, talk about neutral versus stability, because that's something that I've had to learn a lot about over the last few years.
Yeah, so some people, either due to lack of strength or just biology, the way that people are built, or kind of to dumb it down a little bit, just the way that you run, your legs turn inward, kind of your knock-kneed or kind of ankles turn inward as well. So stability is going to suit you better to keep you injury-free. Running wants to be a forward motion sport. So knees and kind of hips, everything that tracks needs to be forward. Any inward or outward curvature of that line is going to lead to injury at some point. So if you have kind of an inward curvature at any point in your leg structure, you should go with a stability shoe. A great one in that category for kind of a 10 to 20 mile a week road runner, the Brooks Adrenaline is always solid. They really don't change that shoe a lot. Mm-hmm. It's comfortable. I think the Hoka Arahi is a good one as well. But these are also the versions that I know. They change a shoe every year.
Sure.
So you got to make sure, you know, it's still as good as what you thought it was. On the other hand, neutral, if you don't need any correction, you know, and you have a pretty straight stride, no knock knees, inward or outward motion, the Brooks Ghost is always a solid choice. One of my favorites recently is the Hoka Mach. That one is a thinner shoe, so probably opts out at 10 to 12 miles, I think, for a long run for most people. A little bit more cushion, the Hoka Clifton that Pete wears, the form.
Yeah.
Those would be just two good standard options.
Awesome.
How about this? I like to run a little bit of road, a little bit of trail throughout the week. We live in an area where we have an incredible park nearby with incredible trails. So I'm kind of bouncing back and forth between some road shoes, some trail shoes. What kind of effect does that have? And how would you advise somebody that's kind of wearing multiple shoes as they train, depending on the terrain that they're using?
If it is in your budget, then I would say get multiple pairs of shoes because it's going to be more helpful than anything else. Because your feet and legs are going to get used to the different stimulus and the way things work. Number one, you're not going to get kind of leg lock and kind of be in a repeat of beating down on the same shoe over and over. Also, running shoes need 24 hours to kind of recompress in the foam. So if you beat a shoe down every day, you're going to go through it a little bit faster. If you give it a day break, then it's going to last a little bit longer. But also, road shoes should stay on the road. You shouldn't take a road shoe on the trail. So multiple shoes for terrain is going to be super duper helpful too.
Nice.
I hadn't even considered the foam needing time to recover, but that makes so much sense.
Think about your mattress.
I guess that's very true.
Okay. Hoka or Brooks?
They're two totally different kinds of people.
Or Saucony.
They would go on the bottom, at least right now. I think they have some good shoes in their selection, but as a brand, Brooks and Hoka are a lot better. I tend to like Brooks as a whole better. That's my favorite trail shoe. Mm-hmm. It just depends. Some people don't like the rocking in the Hokas.
Yeah.
You know, so that's hard for people. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to give a definitive answer just because we're all so different.
Yeah. So if someone did want to take a deep dive and figure out, do I need a stability shoe? Do I need a neutral shoe? What would you recommend to do about that? What's the best way for someone who's maybe not sure, do I need neutral? Do I need stability?
The easy answer would be to go into a run specialty store, just because somebody else can help you figure that out and you don't have to guess yourself. But if you don't want to do that, one way to check kind of for overpronation or needing stability is to get down and do a squat. Mm-hmm. So if you go down and do a squat and when you come back up, your knees or anything buckles inward, you probably need stability.
That's a really easy test.
I'll show you.
You guys demonstrating.
We're getting a demonstration. Noah is squatting and his knees go in just a little bit.
Yeah.
So that would indicate stability would be a good move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Just so you know, Noah, I would tear a meniscus and an ACL doing that move.
It's because we're old, Russ. It's because we're old.
Oh, that's awesome. How did you become a shoe guru?
A shoe-ru,
a
if shoe-ru. You will.
Well, it was my work, you know, so you might as well be good at what you do. But also, I love running, and shoes just kind of came hand in hand with that. And it didn't seem like work as I did it, either because it was so fun. Not only to learn so much about the shoes, but to help other people because I was keeping people injury free, and that goes with their success is my success. So even if I didn't train them or coach them, but they ran a fast time or did a lot of training in the shoes I sold them, there was enjoyment in that too.
You know, one of the biggest things I picked up from coming and getting fitted with you when you were at Fleet Feet here in town was I didn't have the right size shoes on.
That is a big thing that people get wrong. I'm happy you brought that up. Yeah. So you want about a half to a full thumb's width from the end of the shoe to your big toe because your feet are going to swell. But also you want to make sure you get the right width of shoes. A lot more people should be in wide shoes than they expect to. If you see your feet hanging over the sides of the shoe, you should probably get a wider one.
Yeah, that was such a game changer for me. I was having, Ross, I don't know if I ever told you this, I was having horrible toe pains. Like my toes, when I get done running, would just ache and ache and ache, and I couldn't figure out why. The answer was right in front of me. So I went in and got fitted. Noah was like, you should probably bump up a half size. And it was on that day that everything got so much more comfortable with running. So, I mean, specifically with my feet and my toes, right? I was wearing a size 12 where my toes, you know, my everyday shoes are size 12s, but I'm not running. My feet aren't swelling. My feet aren't splaying out like they do when you're putting pressure on them to run. And when I got into that half a size bigger, it was like a whole new world out there.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that. That's really cool that you discovered that going up like a half shoe size. One of the cool things about Fleet Feet, the first time I rolled in there, is when you get your feet measured,
yes.
It's like when you're a child or when you're younger and you're going to get shoes, you're getting whatever size shoe. But they're like, hey, why don't you come over here and stand on this magical square that's really going to show you just exactly all these different measurements and dimensions of your feet. It was kind of like unlocking a whole new level of experience of getting a shoe.
Yeah.
That device is really cool because when you really get good at it, you can see the little small things that would make like a perfect shoe for somebody's foot, like the height of somebody's foot instep, you know. Mm-hmm. So there are some shoes that will be super low and rub the top of people's feet, so you can give them a bigger one. I have solved a lot of issues with that. Some people have kind of triangle feet where they have super wide in the front and super skinny in the back. Some people have little brick feet, so it's wide all the way through.
Like a hoof?
Yeah. Not to name names. But you can really guide your decision based on that machine, so that's super cool. As far as technology advancements, socks are freaking awesome. You know, so there's all these socks with left and right foots now, and arches and cooling and moisture wicking and all kinds of stuff. So I think socks have really come a long way.
That's amazing. My feet feel so much better when I use like some nice padded socks on some deep trail runs. They don't ache as much. They bounce back a lot quicker. I'm glad you brought that up. That's a good call. I know I have some features. Yeah, I've got some features.
The Incrediwear socks are pretty awesome.
Okay, yeah. Incrediwear, local company.
Exactly. Give them a shout out. We love that.
Come sponsor us.
Yeah. We love you. We love you. And Fleet Feet, we love you too.
This is all really helpful. We have a mailbag question today.
Oh, do we?
We have a mailbag question. This one comes from Pete the Form Hansen right here in Chico. As we've mentioned before, Pete is in the throes of training for a marathon right now. Pretty lofty goals that are very much within his reach. He's shooting for a Boston qualifier time. He's been going through some incredible workouts, and he has a question for Noah. He wants to know what would be a really good race day speed shoe specifically for him.
Oh, that is so funny because he just texted me before I got in here.
Pete's mailbag question.
I didn't even get to look at his answer. I asked a reference question. But specifically for him, so he's neutral, and we all know that because we call him the Form because he runs beautiful.
Yeah. It's frustrating to watch because it's so smooth.
A stallion.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even look like he's trying. Yeah.
You should see him play basketball because it's exactly the same thing.
Yeah. Well, I'd be frustrated, so I'm not going to do that. For him, I think the Saucony racing shoes, those are actually some shoes in Saucony that have really been good. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the Endorphin Speed right now. Mm-hmm. That's a great workout shoe. I don't know if I would take it to the full marathon, but I forget the name of their marathon one, but Logan uses it mm-hmm. as well. It's their Endorphin Elite Pro or something or other. That would be a fantastic one. I also think the Brooks Hyperion would be good for him because that one's a little bit firmer, and I like the firmer race shoes because stuff that's too squishy can lead to kind of rolling ankles and mm-hmm. you know, making turns really hard and things like that.
Sure.
I've been happy with the ASICS series ones. I've been using the ASICS Magic Speed for my half marathons.
Yeah.
So those would be kind of the ones I think he should check out.
Did you get that, Pete?
Write it down.
Call Noah.
Well, I'll text him after this. Yeah.
What about when you're not running? Do you have any suggestions for lounge shoes, so to speak? Sandals, barefoot? Like, how should I operate when I'm not running?
I would say try to avoid barefoot as much as possible, just so you have some sort of support. I like to have my feet free. I don't like to be in a closed toed shoe all the time. UFOs are one of my favorite because they're soft, they're open toed, but they have an arch support in them. Any of my casual shoes, I know, Peter, you're a shoe junkie a little bit.
I am.
Putting an insert in shoes like those would be fantastic for me. I can't wear just a regular pair of Vans or something alike because my feet do hurt, but putting an insert in them really, really helps. So anything that has some sort of support would be good, and I would avoid barefoot.
Good to know.
If I'm hearing you, you're saying that if you're running regularly, take care of your feet when you're not running.
Yeah, because your feet are working all the time, even when you're not.
Yeah, sage advice.
How do you feel about putting your feet in ice cold water?
I've never thought about that before. This will be a on the fly answer. I think it would be good for inflammation, right? You know, if you're sore, mm-hmm. have you heard anything against?
No. You know, my wife is a physical therapist, and her first response for anything like this hurts, this aches, ice it. So feels like Noah's probably right on with that. Like, yeah, soak them in cold water.
Yeah. Well, that's why the cold plunges, I think, are so popular now.
Well, and when we're running in Upper Park and we do creek crossings, and maybe we take our time going across the creek because that cold water feels so good.
Yep.
So good.
So basically, the student became the master just became the doctor.
It's what it feels like, Dr. Noah.
Oh, jeez.
Dr. Shuru.
See, that's too much power.
That's fair. But you are a benevolent dictator, as I used to call you at the training programs.
That was so much fun. Like, I cannot tell you those times people cussing at me,
yeah.
you know, as they're running around. Well, did they ever do that when you were running with us, Ross?
Yeah. F you, Noah.
Jokingly.
Well, I think it was always half in jest.
You know, and I know you guys don't mean it, but whether you mean it or not, you know, when you say those things, it never hurts my feelings, because even if you did hate me, I would rather you succeed and get my feelings hurt, you know, than me not push you.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I think you understand that none of it ever comes from a bad place.
No.
Yeah. It's
well, maybe in the moment.
Maybe in the moment. Yeah. But it's a fleeting feeling. It's absolutely a fleeting feeling.
A fleeting fleet feeling.
Exactly. Say that five times fast.
I butchered it one time. You're in a cool spot, though, as a coach, because what you're doing is providing people with this opportunity to better themselves. And even if in these moments it's a little frustrating, there's so much satisfaction and fulfillment from seeing the growth that you have and the progress you make as a runner. So even in those moments when people may be saying some stuff in jest or yeah. really feeling a little bit frustrated, that goes away quickly. And, you know, when they see the progress of the improvement they're making.
Yeah. I mean, training is just like racing. You're going to go through so many different emotions, ups and downs, but it always ends the same where you're happy you did it.
Mm-hmm. I think we talk a lot about this, Ross, where, you know, what we do today, what we do in this really hard, shitty workout that we're really not stoked about is ultimately an investment in what we're trying to get to, right? It's just part of where we're going. And in the moment, it sucks, but we know that the payoff is totally worth however uncomfortable we are, however hard Noah is pushing us to run these mile repeats or these 800 repeats or these hill repeats. It was always with this end game in mind. Like, this is just going to make, when you really put it to work, easier, because you're going to know physically and mentally that you have it and you just have to go do it now.
Absolutely. Well said. Hey, do we have a lesson from a book to share?
Yeah. This got me thinking, Ross. This got me thinking.
Is this our first This Got Me Thinking segment?
This is our first This Got Me Thinking segment. So, you know, I've been talking about this book I've been reading called What I Talk About When I Talk About Running by Haruki Murakami. Really cool book. And there's just some things that we talk about in here. And one of them that came up was running a lot. And so I'm just going to share a couple sentences from here and just kind of see if it resonates with either of you guys. People sometimes sneer at those who run every day, claiming they'll go to any length to live longer. But I don't think that's the reason most people run. Most runners run not because they want to live longer, but because they want to live life to the fullest. If you're going to go while away the years, it's far better to live them with clear goals and fully alive than in a fog. And I believe running helps you to do that. Exerting yourself to the fullest within your individual limits, that's the essence of running and a metaphor for life. And for me, for writing as well, I believe many runners would agree.
Love that.
And I read that and it got me thinking that I'm not doing this necessarily to live longer, but to get the most out of what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, I like that. I've been thinking a little bit more about running every day as well. I like the way I feel afterwards. Like, I ran before coming here. Mm-hmm. I felt a little bit more ready to come here and do a podcast than if I didn't run. And perhaps that lends itself a little to that concept and idea of sort of living life to the fullest. Mm-hmm. You feel more full when you're running.
Yeah.
It definitely changes my mood. When I don't run often, then I get a little down, you know, a little bit more crabby, as my wife would say. Mm-hmm. So running every day is fantastic, even though it's a lot. I think we need it to get everything flowing, to get the endorphins going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that got me thinking.
I'm glad.
I like that segment.
Yeah,
this got me thinking. We'll have to do some more of those.
Most definitely. Yeah, I like that.
I tell you what, this was awesome. I'm so glad we had a guest. It evolved. It expanded. It's so cool to have you, Noah.
It's always good to see you guys.
Yeah, thank you, Noah. I think running helps us better understand life, live it more fully. So all the knowledge that you've shared with us about running, about shoes, it's really valuable. Dare I say invaluable. Yeah. And I very much appreciate how you've helped me. Ross?
Yeah, the runner, coach, and gear expert. Really neat to be able to have a little bit of a dive into your equipment knowledge and kind of how you see things and how you've evolved into helping people pick the right shoes and sort of have an idea based on the way they run or the certain form they have. That's really fascinating.
Yeah, it's fun.
So I thought that segment was really cool. Thank you for sharing your insights, your thoughts. Obviously, you mean a lot to me and I'm sure to Pete. And let's go, Noah, man. Thanks for coming on the show. Yeah.
Again, thank you for having me out. You know, both of you have really changed the way that I look at running as well. You know, so you've brought new things into me. I'm learning all the time. But also, I miss you guys.
Yeah, I miss you.
Yeah. So I knew I was going to miss you, but I didn't think it was going to be this much. You know, to not be in the running community and have that. We would see each other multiple times a week.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, so just trying to get back and hopefully we could hit some runs soon.
We definitely will.
Yeah.
We definitely will.
And to provide a little context, you've transitioned to a new job away from the region, which is why we're not seeing Noah as much. We miss Noah. How's your new job going real quick?
It is good. It is a lot harder than I expected it to be, but that is okay. You know, not everything is meant to be easy, just like when we run. So hopefully I can overcome and make everything good, finish the race.
You've done a lot of hard things. You'll master this just like you finish the 50K yeah. when you really didn't want to?
Well, I'm going to need to call in Daniel.
Good luck getting him to come work your job.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that'll do it for the third episode.
That's right.
Good stuff.
Stay tuned. We've got more big plans in the works to have more guests come join us and share their running knowledge and experiences. Ross, it's always a pleasure. Look forward to doing it again soon. And look forward to getting more miles. Trails and Tales in Chico.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Let's go. Good stuff.
Yeah.